Production support for Noon Edition comes from Smithville, fiber internet, streaming TV, home security, and automation in southern Indiana. More information at smithville.com. And from Bloomington Health Foundation, providing financial support to the community for 55 years, promoting healthier lives and the advancement of future healthcare in our region. Working together for a healthier tomorrow. More at bloomhf.org. And from Estate and Downsizing Specialists, LLC, offering complete turnkey services for estate and downsizing clients, from initial consultation through home cleanout to final real estate and personal property sales. More at edsindiana.com.
Welcome to Noon Edition on WFIU. I'm your host, Bob Zaltzberg, along with co-host Sarah Whitmeyer. Today we're talking with guests about the talks about a new jail site, issues with the current jail, and more issues involving community justice. So we have three guests with us in the studio. Sheriff Ruben Marte, the Monroe County Sheriff, is here in the studio with us. Also in the studio is Sue Scambaluri, who is the Vice President of the Bloomington City Council. And joining us over Zoom is Penny Givens, President of the Monroe County Board of Commissioners. If you have questions or comments, you can give us a call at 812-855-0811 or toll free at 877-285-9348. You can also follow us on Twitter at Noon Edition. You can send us your questions there, or you can send us questions directly to news at indianapublicmedia.org. There are lots of issues surrounding a jail and operating a jail. And Sheriff Marte, I know you were elected in 2022. You started your job January 1st. You walked into the jail, and I'm sure over the first couple of weeks you had a lot of thoughts about what you had walked into and what needed to happen. Can you describe your thoughts after you started your job?
First, thank you for having me here this afternoon. Appreciate the invite and this opportunity to talk to you about the jail. When I first took over and selected my command staff, we knew that we had a challenge in front of us to try to clean and paint the jail. You know, with any old building or facility, it just takes maintenance and it has to constantly be maintained. Right now, we're working on a particular cell block, cleaning and painting right now, and it's making a turnaround. Something as simple as replacing the clock or replacing an old TV means a lot in there. It's a full circle. What happens is if we do not do certain things in there, it could get worse really quick inside the jail because you have people in there. And truly, let me backtrack. Right now, the judges are doing a great job keeping the numbers down in the jail. What happens is the people that need to be in there are in there are people that truly could cause some harm. So now you have people at that level in the facility. So no longer do we keep people locked down 23 hours a day. The only time they're locked down is when they're going to sleep, going to bed, or when we have to do a count just to make sure people are still there and everyone is safe and in healthy condition. We have to physically see it. The one thing that's lacking right now in the particular block, and I believe the commissioners are working on it right now, is we're trying to actually clean the actual windows. The way it's set up is very difficult. You have to cut through an actual, it's almost like a fence, and it's very thick. And throughout the years, a lot of, I don't know what you call it, a lot of debris, I guess, or a lot of items that the inmates will put in there, and you know, I'll stop there, but there's more to it. We need to really clean that out completely, just for health reasons, but that's the only thing that's lacking as of now. Once we finish one actual block, we plan to go to another block and do the same thing over again. But by the time we finish cleaning, well, the first part that we started, it'll be time to come back again and do it again. It's just a vicious cycle, and we kind of keep doing it over and over again. But one thing that it does, though, is it actually has a mindset of we provide certain type of hope for the people in there right now. No one wants to live in a condition that is not healthy and or clean. I mean, that's just simple basics as far as I'm concerned. So that's what we're trying to do at the present time. It's taken a little longer than I wanted to take, but, you know, we're heading the right directions right now. Basically, for the people who are in there. Now, one thing I want to clarify, there are people that, depending on what lens you think about the new jail, we need a new jail. Mm-hmm. Also, there are certain people that think, wait a minute, you know, if a person committed a crime, don't want to be in jail, don't commit the crime. Being a trooper for 32 years, I get it. I understand that. There are people that have a certain lens that say, well, you know, this is not a Holiday Inn. And I get that as well. For people that think like, imagine this. So think about maybe your loved one. God forbid a mistake is made and you end up in that environment. You don't want to be treated in a certain negative way. You want to be treated humanely. However, if you don't want to see from that lens, look at from this other lens. We have people that work there, that employ there. At least for their sake, let's keep it humane, let's keep it clean, at least for the worker's sake. Mm-hmm. Because who wants to go to work in an environment that is not clean and or safe? And we're asking people to come in an environment and deal with human beings that don't want to be there. And violence could happen at the drop of a dime. So we're trying to change the environment, the culture of that jail, to actually benefit all of us. Because when someone leaves and live in an environment that it was in the condition it was before, people get angry. And if you think about it, once they come outside back to society or the community, well, who's going to pay the price there? You know, so it's a vicious cycle that sometimes we don't all agree on what we should do in that jail, but we have to come to terms that whoever's in there at the present time eventually is going to come back out to the community. And we don't want an angry person coming out to the community. We want someone that we provide them all the assistance that we could, humanly can, so when they come back out to the community, they could hopefully do better, not return back to that particular system.
Mm-hmm. Penny Givens from the County Commissioners, I know you've been a County Commissioner for the last few years, but this has been an ongoing issue. You know, I could go over all the history. Let me just cite the 2008 lawsuit from the ACLU and the fact that, you know, they said lots of changes needed to be made from then. But actually, more important than that, the 2020 Criminal Justice and Incarceration Study that came to the county, and I think it was June 20th of 2020. So from the commissioner's standpoint, I mean, what kind of actions have you taken since that 2020 story? Our study, and what can be done in the short term? We can talk about building a new jail after that, but what can be done in the short term?
Well, I'm very impressed about the homework you've done for this, let me tell you. But when we are looking at different things, and I think the sheriff and I agree about this completely, as you prepare someone to exit the jail, we need different kinds of release programs so that we perhaps should be talking about transitional housing to help people. We need to look at job skills, trying to help them create a resume, perhaps even within the jail. I know some of the trustees are helping with food preparation. So where do we move them to once they are released? These are important things for reducing the recidivism rates. Another thing that we are looking at is treatment options to keep people from ever being in contact with the criminal justice system. The Stride Center is one of those kinds of treatment options that was developed as an alternative to law enforcement or law enforcement diversion, assisted diversion program. And they're regularly seeing several hundred people, individual people, a year go through there. And so that's keeping people out of that criminal justice environment. And Stride Center has now developed a mobile crisis unit that can go out to people where they are. And I think that's important to acknowledge, too. I worked with the Monroe County Health Department folks over the past couple of weeks, and we were working with Centerstone and with the Indiana Recovery Alliance, along with our health department, and the city of Bloomington to create a grant application to the state, which is giving out up to $25 million in additional opioid settlement monies to entities that are working with their local governments. And so we have pledged a portion of our opioid settlement money, if the state will give us additional money, to increase what's available at STRIDE, to increase some of the programming that is available through Centerstone, and to also do some of the harm reduction that the Indiana Recovery Alliance does, because when you do that harm reduction and create trust with individuals, that's when you can start to get them into treatment programs.
Sheriff, just to respond to that, how important are those programs to you?
Oh, they're very important to me. I would like to increase what we're doing now. We just don't have the space. Mm-hmm. We have a room that we have to share with different programs that come into the jail. We have New Leaf, New Life, and we have the service program that she mentioned for people that actually do the cooking in the jail. They get certified. I mean, they go to a whole program to actually serve safely. So that's a skill set that they learn while they're in the jail, and the person that runs it does a very good job. Mm-hmm. They have the opportunity to earn their GED as well. We have 4 different religious services to come in at the jail at the present time. Centerstone comes in as well. We also have creative writing in the jail as well, and AA meetings as well while people are incarcerated. So programs are very important to us. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we want to do more. One thing I have to say, Bloomington has a tremendous amount of programs, and they're really willing to assist. The problem is I don't have the space, you know, because I just mentioned about 7 programs that we have now currently. Mm-hmm. But the ones that could come in and help and guide people as they leave, because one of the things that we notice is if a person is released and they don't have any support, either housing or job or any mechanism to do better for yourself, they end up right back again. Mm-hmm. So the support system needs to start from within the jail and then proceed once the person leaves as well, mm-hmm. just to make sure that they don't return back again. So it's a very delicate balance.
Sue Scambellari is with us. She's on the city council, and the city council, as you know, we talked about this before the program began, is not as directly involved with the jail, but the city is a big part of Monroe County. Mm-hmm. And with a majority of the residents living in the city, so it's and the jail is in the middle of the city right now. So, from your perspective, you know, on the city council, what is your role in trying to help solve some of these problems? That, like finding a space for a new jail, and just how can you help with programming or anything else?
Sure. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the question, too. You're right. Statutorily, our role is limited. The criminal justice system falls to the county, and the responsibilities for the jail fall to the county. That said, I think we have a tremendous amount of insight and expertise, not just because the majority of Monroe County residents live within the city, but because we have the single largest law enforcement agency in the county in Bloomington Police Department. So the single greatest users of the jail are within the city. So I think for that reason alone, we have insight and expertise to share. And I'm hopeful that in time, as the Community Justice Response Committee does its work, that the city can have some representation on that. Beyond that, I think there are potential partnerships in looking at different kinds of land. Very often, if there is land within city limits, it will require a rezone of some kind to allow for that kind of use of that land. So those kinds of questions come to council as well. There are certain parcels of land that are within the city right now, and I think we are awaiting the county's direction on the parcels of land or the property on which they wish to focus in terms of building a new jail. Mm-hmm. So I think we are awaiting that guidance now before we can take up whatever questions as soon as possible. We understand the urgency of this issue very, very much. And so we are awaiting that guidance and looking forward to having the county's direction on the kinds of properties that they want to focus on.
Before I turn it over to Sarah, because I know she's got questions, I just want you to follow up on, there was one piece of land that the county very much wanted to build a jail on. Mm-hmm. Penny can tell me how much, but the city voted it down, voted against it. Was that at the Planning Commission level or the City Council level?
That was at the City Council level. That was a unanimous vote.
What was wrong with that site?
That site was zoned for a different purpose. And like most situations in governing is about trade-offs, not necessarily about outright solutions sometimes. So when we looked at what it would take and what we would trade off in terms of land, particularly for employment opportunities in Bloomington, that did not seem to be a fit. Mm-hmm. To us. And so, and again, I think there are opportunities to look at other parcels of land in the city. And we await that guidance. I also think it would be interesting. The Bloomington Economic Development Corporation obviously doesn't have a direct role in this, but they are in the business of inventorying land parcels. They are in the business of knowing what kind of working with site selection, understanding what sites are available. I think perhaps the county has an opportunity to consult with them to actually look at availability mm-hmm. in the area.
Okay.
Do you want to let Penny jump in real quick on that?
Sure. Penny, do you want to respond?
Yeah, we actually have reached out to Bloomington Economic Development Corporation and Clark Greiner, who oversees that portion of BEDC. He actually did have a couple of plots for us to, you know, kind of think about. It's difficult when we send out requests for qualifications to different design companies that might, you know, be working with us on the jail. Two of them indicated that we need 25 acres for the kinds of things that we're looking at. And it's very difficult, as everybody knows, to find 25 acres within the city of Bloomington that would be usable. Because it has to not just be 25 acres, it has to be, you know, not have a strong, big slope, it has to not have karst features. There are just a lot of different things. And nobody wants a jail in their backyard without some kind of buffer as well. So there are a lot of things that go into it that make it difficult. We've also been in touch with some of the folks that work for the city to ask if they could help us identify lots or acreage within the city. So we're still waiting a little bit on that also.
So I understand this process takes a really long time, and I don't want to sound, I guess, flip in saying this, but it's been 15 years since the ACLU, is that right, 15?
Yeah.
Okay, my math. In some of the conditions you're describing, I mean, is there a sense of urgency that we just need to do something?
Well, on my end, there is, because, you know, we work in there every single day. And I get to see what the residents and employees will have to go through every single day. I mean, right now, you know, the roof is being fixed, but I just don't know what day, you know, it's just going to to the next, what else is going to go wrong, you know. So it's very tricky. And to me, yes, I would like to move sooner than later because, again, every time I walk in there, you know, I mean, cleaning and painting is one thing, but I tell you, the maintenance is something else. They don't even make parts for some of the equipment that we have in there. So it's my concern is the well-being of people that are in there. God forbid something happens, they get hurt. Because when you are lacking certain things, frustration builds up and it continues to build. That's something that, you know, if you don't see it every single day, you might not have a full understanding what you're actually facing, because when it affects the inside, eventually it's going to affect the outside when you are released eventually.
Sheriff, it's been raining really hard today. Is the jail dry?
I called this morning. So far right now, we're fine. But my dilemma is that where the roof is leaking is close to, you know, power outages and close to the gas line. It's just... it's where we actually do laundry, you know, in there. So it's you know, it's nerve-wracking because I just don't know. So I can't predict the future on that one.
Can you explain right now? I'm just thinking about organizations I've worked for. There's a priority list and things that, you know, do get funded in a 3-year basis, 5 years. Is there something like that that's in place, like a replacement cycle for things, or
I can't answer that. There are certain things that we need replaced, you know. But what happens is when you replace one particular item, we don't know as we're replacing what else is going to be behind there that we need to, you know, we just don't know. I mean, it's an old facility. It just is. So we're dealing with what we can at the present time. For example, I'll give you one example. The elevator. We have an elevator that we have to utilize daily. If that elevator is so old, it doesn't even keep track of many times it's being used going up or down. If that any time that elevator stops working, now we have officers going up and down the stairs to feed the residents in there. So, you know, these are the things that I think about on a daily basis. What if that elevator breaks down permanently? Now what? So when from my end of it, I really want everyone at the table to include the city and see how we could work together, because at this point, you know, those are the things I'm very concerned about. Something as simple as an elevator that might break down.
If people don't really understand, you know, the footprint of the jail in the Zitlow building downtown, the jail is on the fourth and fifth floors, correct?
Fourth and fifth floor.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, just one more quick follow-up. But when the ACLU gets involved in something like this, it just seems like a really long time to not have some sort of lawsuit resolved. I mean, are they on you constantly to do progress reports, or how does that work so that they're not just suing right now?
Well, the way when I took over, my understanding is if the capacity of the jail gets to 244, then we have to notify the circuit court judge and let them know immediately we need to start releasing certain inmates, because we cannot get to 278, because then that in turn would create more pressure on us by that organization. So the judges, again, have been doing a phenomenal job with that, keeping the numbers down. Like when I checked this morning, it was at 187. So we're doing good there. The issue is just the actual building itself. That's the crisis moment.
We're talking with guests today about the Monroe County Jail, the Corrections Center downtown. We have Sheriff Ruben Marte with us in the studio, along with Sue Scambaleri from the Bloomington City Council. Penny Githens is joining us on Zoom. She's the president of Monroe County Board of Commissioners. If you have questions or comments, you can call us 812-855-0811 or toll free at 877-285-9348. You can also send us your questions to news@indianapublicmedia.org, and you can follow us on Twitter at Noon Edition. Send questions there. Penny, I know that the commissioners have been looking at models. I believe there were, if I know this, I think there was a research trip to Arizona to visit some jails. What are you looking for in terms of a facility to fund?
Well, we've been to more than just facilities in Arizona. Some of our folks, not me personally, have been to Columbus, Ohio, to Vigo County, to Hamilton County, and to Clanton County, Kentucky. And what we're seeing and what we're hearing from professionals, including Ken Falk, who came and spoke to the Community Justice Response Committee.
And he's the ACLU director who filed the suit.
He is.
Right.
Yes, he is. Thank you. Is that we need single-story jails, no elevators. You know, and that came to mind as Sheriff Marte was talking, that you cannot have a jail function correctly if you're relying on elevators. It's just not the same. And so we're looking at single story. We're looking at things with a lot more natural light. We're looking at things, and we want to work with the sheriff and others on this, where perhaps each unit, which might be a lot bigger than the units that we have, the cell blocks that we have, might have its own recreation facility. And that really cuts down on the need to transport the detainees, the inmates, and which really relieves staff of that kind of responsibility. And the other part is that if you build jails differently than what we've got, in sort of a circular thing that allows for observation into the blocks, you require less staff and it's less stress on the staff. And I certainly appreciate the fact that Sheriff Marte repeatedly talks about what work is like for the folks that are there as our jail staff.
Sheriff Marte, how would you like to see the structural changes? I'm assuming you want it on one floor.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely one floor. I think what Penny's referring to in the sense of the actual structure of the jail, it's almost like you have a center location, and then you have pods that spread out, and then you could view the residents there easier. Now, as far as the staff size, if we're talking about doing different programs, which I'm hearing the community refer to, helping people not to come back into the jail, if we're going to do that inside the jail first, we need the space, and we also need the manpower to do it. You cannot do that. You have to have human beings doing this, one-on-one type of deal, because everyone is different. So the need that one person might have might be not the same for another person. So we have to acknowledge where they're at the given time, and then provide that service at that given time. But getting back to your question, I would like to have, you know, the judges, the prosecutor's office, the counselors, probation, all in one plaza if we can. It'd be a whole lot easier for everyone. And to be closer to the city, absolutely. I understand that it's very crucial, very important for a person that's inside that system to have the family members or loved ones come and pay them a visit. Not over the phone. I'm talking about physically see that person. And if you don't have a mechanism to get there, you know, we don't want to make it more difficult. We have to be conscious of that. And the only way you could think about solutions for that is to have everyone at the table, in my opinion.
This was part of the discussion when the Justice Building was built the first time. People wanted to be downtown. They wanted to have the courtroom, some courtrooms, which they did have courtrooms in there, prosecutor's office in there. So it's not really different from the thought process. When was that? 1980s, when the original building was built?
Well, I don't know exactly when, but I could tell you that the mistakes that we made now, we truly need to learn from those and not repeat them again.
Right.
That's different, crystal clear to me. There are plenty of other jails out there that are doing very well, that are probably the same age as ours, but doing well. There's a reason for that. So we need to, you know, the other jails that I paid a visit to, all the ones that I know that are my counterparts that are new sheriffs now, you know, I'm trying to see how they handle their jail and how their jail is built and how it works really well. Each jail has a good program that we could mimic from each other. We don't have to mimic the wheel. However, for us right now, I think the issue is once we find location, I get that part. But then at the same time, we have to keep thinking forward thinking and not repeat what the mistake we made from the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, a elevator, you know, just that one simple thing changes everything. Because every time the elevator breaks down, it causes a havoc for us. It really does. We have people that are really tired, you know, working longer shift because we don't have the manpower, because who really wants to work in an environment that, you know, we're trying to change it, the culture of it. But yet, you know, these are things that is happening right now as we speak. So the urgency for me, one of the reasons why I'm trying to move so fast is because of the conditions, is because we know people cannot learn well or work well in an environment that I walked into.
Mm-hmm. I've heard both people who are here in the studio with us, Penny, have talked about getting everybody at the table. Has there been resistance from the county to having city people at the table with you, or do you think that everybody who needs to be at the table is at the table? Penny? Did we lose Penny?
She's having some trouble hearing. She's trying to figure it out.
Okay. All right. So we need to go to another question.
Well, one thing we could say, the city's not there now. I mean, I'm new to the committee, but the city's not there, so they're not being represented right now. And you know, I understand the county, that's the county responsibility, but we have to work as a team. You know, we really do.
Mm-hmm. Sue, can you say more about that? I mean, what do you think the city would offer if
the city was at the table. And, and when you say city at the table, who should be there?
Let's take your first question first. I think we've seen, just based on the conversation here today alone, how much complexity there is to identifying a chunk of land, to determining whether or not it's suitable, determining whether or not it has the infrastructure around it, or what it would take to have the infrastructure or the transit or whatever is necessary. Those kinds of conversations are deep and complex and need to happen in advance. We need to have opportunities on an ongoing basis to have those conversations. And it's difficult to do that with the city not at the table. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. So I think we're missing an opportunity to actually have more coordinated, more focused conversations based on that. And your second part of your question?
From the city should be there? Council members? Chief Dekoff?
I think ideally law enforcement would be represented. The Bloomington Police Department is the largest law enforcement unit in the county and the greatest user of the jail. So I think that may be Chief Dekoff, that may be his appointee. But I think that's actually a first step. Beyond that, I think since it's very, very likely that we'll be depending on council for a rezone for whatever piece of land comes along, I think city council representation makes sense. City council also has a relationship to a lot of the nonprofits in town through Jack Hopkins and other sources that focus on issues related to recidivism and mental health and substance use disorder. So I think the city council has a true interest in seeing those efforts integrated with whatever we do with a new jail, and then certainly the administration as well. Mm-hmm.
So does the funding exist for the land and to build a jail?
That would be a penny.
That's a penny question.
Penny question, actually, probably the county council. We don't have a council member here, but
okay.
That's true.
As to the complexity of the issue.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I'm just, I mean, with the old site, if they're not going to use that, then what happens with that? And could that money be invested into a new site? But I guess we'll have to wait for Penny. So it sounds like kind of what we're looking for is a unicorn when you're talking about this piece of property. And does a site that's as big and having these various attributes, does that even exist in the city? It feels like we're out of land right now.
Well, I think there's a sequence of questions that need to be asked.
Help
so
me.
So first of all is space. You know, we've heard the figure 25 acres. All right, let's start there. You know, let's rule in and rule out based on that. I think then what follows are questions about infrastructure. Sheriff Marte talked about transit and the ability for people to get there. I think the questions there become, are those resources in place already, or what would it take to get them there? And is that even possible? So I think there's kind of a sequence of questions starting with just adequacy of space. How much space is there and how buildable is it? And then we kind of layer in the other questions.
I think Penny's back. So, Penny, are you there?
Yes, I am. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I know. Well, we asked you a big question, and we've been talking about it without you. So, and the question is, I said that I had heard discussion from our two guests who are in the studio about the city needing to be at the table. And my question to you was, is the city getting enough input, and who from the city should be at the table to help you make decisions about this, or should they be?
Well, one of the things that we do need to do very definitely, and I made a note to follow up with Sheriff Marte about this, is that we definitely want to be doing a survey of all law enforcement in this area, and that's, you know, as Sue Scambolari pointed out earlier, the Bloomington Police Department is the group that brings most of the people to the jail. But we also have the IU Police Department, Ellettsville, Steinsville, DNR, State Police. I mean, there's a list of people that we need to survey and ask them about what they would like to see in a new facility. Very definitely, you know, when one of the things that when Sheriff Marte first arrived on the scene was he said the sally port that we have needs to have changes to it, and that has been done, but we need to hear other things about intake and other, you know, just those kinds of things mm-hmm. to make a difference. And that's one of the big ways that we really want city input. I think also when we talk about the treatment and release programs, those are other places that the city could provide some very valuable input and help us figure out things that go with that.
Sue mentioned having people who know a little bit about sites that might be available in the city, and also just having, you know, city council. I don't know if you would say input, but maybe input or about how you can get it through the city council, because you're going to have support from the council to be able to locate anything in the city. So would you be open to a representative from the council being on this group?
Well, what we're going to be doing, we hope within the next few weeks, is breaking into subgroups. And with that, we're going to be on Monday talking about what other kinds of people by function, not by name, do we need to have at the table? You know, when we talk about release, who needs to be there? When we talk about judicial processing, who needs to be there? What are our goals for those kinds of subgroups to have in place? And so at that point, if the case can be made, then we can consider those things.
Penny, can you say more about the kinds of subgroups that are likely to come in? Because I think you're right. I think that's an important juncture in this whole process. And so I think it's worth sharing a bit more on that. Could you?
Yes, happy to. We've been working off of what the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration of the federal government has developed. That's called an INTERCEPT model. For people who are incarcerated. And zero intercept means that people do not come into contact with the criminal justice system at any level. And so providing treatment and diversion is part of that, very critically part of that. Keeping kids in school is another critical part of that. Then when you get to the end of that, some people, they refer to it as Intercept 5. Other people refer to it as Intercept 6. But it's what you do as you are releasing people back into society. Do you provide some of the stuff that Sheriff Marte was talking about earlier with the programming that they do for GEDs, for job training? Do you help with transitional housing? Do you help with family reunification and with counseling? So there are a lot of things that go into those things. And so my view has evolved just in the last 6-8 weeks, so that we need to be talking about a facility subgroup. We need to be talking about a judicial processing subgroup. We need a treatment subgroup, and we need a release, retraining, whatever we want to call that subgroup, I think. And all those are aimed at providing for people that are in the facility something that's much more humane than what we have, and also to prevent people from entering the criminal justice system, and to prevent recidivism. And I think that's something we all want to see.
Looking out from some of these smaller groups of things that we would want in a community correction system, is there consensus around just the idea that we need a new jail? When you look at, like, if you look at a city, the city is in charge of the person, the county, sheriff. Is there agreement there on the basic that, just that?
I think so. I've been so busy with dealing with the jail that I can't really tell you 100%. But there are different thoughts and processes that people think. You know, some people think we could just remodel that jail. When you think that, just think about the money that you're going to try to spend on remodeling a jail that has an elevator, that should not be the thought process. We cannot do certain things that we know we can do with the shell of that jail. We need a new jail. and we, I know the location is the main sticking point right now, but we still have to think forward in the sense of wherever we go, we just do not need to repeat the mistakes that we repeated because we're paying the price now, you know. And I just don't know at what point tomorrow brings dealing with this particular jail. So we don't have time to remodel this particular jail.
We have about 10 minutes to go. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Penny.
Oh, I was going to say, and the report that you referred to earlier, Bob, that was done by Ken Ray and Alan Beck, they estimated that to refurbish remodel that jail, it would cost $56 million. And that was in 2020 before we've been hit with high inflation. So, again, when Ken Falk was in to talk with us all, he said, you need a new jail. And I completely agree with Sheriff Marte. We need a new jail for just a lot of reasons. And, of course, when you build it with a single story instead of the three stories, when you build it with other kinds of recreation and programming space, when you build it with additional medical space, the footprint is much bigger. Absolutely, just much bigger than what we have downtown, and we have ways that we could repurpose, what's there for other offices, perhaps for private business.
There's a question that came up while we didn't have you on the phone about ownership of the jail and that whole justice building, and if you do find another location and you do build, what kind of have you looked into what you might be able to get for that building or what kind of repurposing of that building you could do?
Well, I'm not an architect, so I'm not going to go there, if that's okay.
Sure.
The county is always tight on space. What if we move part of our health building, our health offices over there? That's just across the street from where our current health building is. So there are a lot of things we could be doing, I think, with that and still have it be very useful to people.
All right. In our last 10 minutes, if you want to give us a call, 812-855-0811 or 877-285-9348. You can also follow us on Twitter at Noon Edition and send us a question there, or send us a question to news@indianapublicmedia.org.
So I guess I'm just curious, where does this stand with you all, Sue, from your perspective? I mean, you're really passionate about being involved in this process. What do you think should be done now? It does, getting back to that issue of urgency, if we agreed on a site tomorrow, I mean, that's going to be years off. So,
mm-hmm. I think to Penny's excellent point, I think increased engagement is very appropriate now. It's time to actually start pulling people into more detailed, deep dive kinds of questions related to treatment and facilities and release and just judicial processes. So I think if there is something to do now, I think that's a now. That's a now. That's not a later. Beyond that, I would defer to the county and to the commissioners on jail design and those kinds of steps. But again, I appreciate what Penny has shared about the different subgroups that will be working and the kinds of involvement that will come there. So, but I would need to defer to Penny on the actual structure of the jail or hiring designers or doing land reviews or things like that.
So. Sheriff, since we have you here, I just have to ask about the issues that you face every day in terms of mental health issues. I think I read a story recently that it was done locally. I don't know if it was our station that did it or somebody else said. Somebody had said that the jail is the largest mental health center in Monroe County. Also, substance abuse issues and those things. What percentage of the people that you're dealing with on a daily basis have one of those maladies that they're dealing with on top of just having committed a crime?
I don't have the percentage to actually quote to you, but I could tell you that we do have an issue with mental illness. We're just not equipped for that. We're not actually trained to deal with that, to be honest with you. One of the issues that we do face, for example, and this was, I believe, last week. We had a gentleman that every facility that we try to, for example, try to take him to Stride, try to take him to Centerstone, I forgot another place, but they couldn't help him because he was one, violent; two, he kept exposing himself; and three, those facilities cannot have someone that might hurt someone else. So what do you do? He came into our lobby, the sheriff's lobby, wanted to register his hands as lethal weapons, commenced to hit in the ground, about almost broke his hands. A lady walks in, sits down, waiting for some paperwork. He sees her and exposes himself to her. So what do we do? So we had to, at that point, intervene. So where did he end up? Back in the jail. And we had him the week before. So it's a vicious cycle for us. You know, we definitely need help in that arena. But the jail is not a place to provide that type of assistance. But that's just one example of how it keeps coming back to us. And do we want it? No, we don't. Mm-hmm. But what choice do we have at a certain given time? That's just one example.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you talk about a new jail and a campus, you have to think about all the different services that you have to provide. I mean, I think I'm wondering about, you know, health care services. Do you have a doctor on staff in the jail? How does that work?
We do. We have a medical staff in the facility, also two counselors, to be exact. We're thinking working how do we try to request for a third one to work at the midnight shift. So if someone's in crisis, how to help them out. But to answer your questions, we do. That's one of the good things that we have in this county that some other jails don't have. We do have medical facilities to help out people in need, and particularly when they're having a crisis. So yes, we want to increase on that. But that is a tremendous amount of help that we could use and improve on.
Okay. And what's the size of your food and your food staff?
I tell you, we're one of the few that we actually cook our own food. The person that's in charge of that, she does a tremendous work with the people there that want to learn the trade, because they do get certified, and with that certificate, they literally could go to another restaurant and work in the kitchen, you know. So we're very proud of that. That was established from years ago, mm-hmm. and that's a good program because it's grown, and they cook their own food. And I tell you, that for an inmate, you know, food, phone, and television. Yeah. it's important, you know. So we try to accommodate where we can, just to make sure keep the stress and the tension in that facility down as much as we can, you know. Mm-hmm. And the food is good. They do a good job. Yeah.
We got a question from Ellen. She doesn't want to go on the air, but she said, "Does everyone agree that 25 acres kind of is the magic number regarding the new site, or could that be broken into multiple sections?"
Penny.
We don't know at this point what different kinds of things we want to co-locate there. And, you know, we also are looking at some innovative things. You know, what if we had gardening for people? What if we, you know, like I suggested earlier, had recreation space for every block? One of the things that we saw in Arizona was that every block had its own recreation space, and it was heavily used. There's research out there that indicates that running, for example, is as effective at treating depression as any medication that we know of, or currently have anyway. And so I think that there are reasons why we want a much bigger footprint that allow us to do other things. We also don't want to build a huge new facility. We're not looking to have 600 beds like they have in Vigo County. But we do want something that, should the need arise, that we could add on to relatively quickly. And that's what we're seeing also in newer jails, that they go ahead and put in the infrastructure that's needed so that if additional facility, you know, bigger facility is needed, that can be taken care of pretty quickly. You have to have space to do that.
What's the sweet spot for you, Sheriff, in terms of number of beds?
It depends. You know, what Penny said is true as far as, and is correct as far as, you know, you build it with the stipulation that if you have an extra space, that if you need to build more, then you can. You know, it's when people, when we say add more, people really think opposite. They think, oh, wait a minute, you want a bigger jail, so you put more people in there. I mean, that's, it is what it is. People are thinking like that. That is not the case. That is truly not the case. If we're really going to do what we need to do to make sure that people get all the assistance that they have while they're in the jail, we have to start inside the jail and continue that program outside. Every time someone comes back, it's because they don't have the support system once they are released. Housing, jobs, family support, all those things matter. If you take an individual and you put them back in an environment they just came from, regardless what it is, that caused them to get into the system, well, guess what? They're going to come back again. Mm-hmm. So we got to think outside the box. So as far as, you know, the amount of acres, what Penny said is true. A person that gets natural, just the light makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. If you get to work outside with the dirt, farming, things, that makes a difference. I mean, I've been to jails that literally have inmates doing that. And it's cut down on the violence inside the jail tremendously. Mm-hmm. But then again, I understand when people think, wait a minute, you committed a crime. Why, you know, so mm-hmm. it depends what lens you look at it. So the common thing I think that everyone really wants is a reduction in crime. I think we have that in common. Mm-hmm. But it has a lot of factors when you say something like that. You got to be willing to think outside the box. You might not agree on everything, but let's find what we have in common and move from there.
Okay, we are out of time. I want to thank you for participating and appearing today on our show, Sheriff Ruben Marte from Monroe County, Penny Givens, the president of the Monroe County Commissioners, Sue Scambaleri, the vice president of the Bloomington City Council. Thank you all for being here. For our co-host Sarah Whitmire, engineer Mike Pashkash, and producer Nathan Moore, I'm Bob Zaltzberg. Thank you for listening.
Production support for Noon Edition comes from Smithville, fiber internet, streaming TV, home security, and automation in southern Indiana. More information at smithville.com. And from Bloomington Health Foundation, providing financial support to the community for 55 years, promoting healthier lives and the advancement of future healthcare in our region. Working together for a healthier tomorrow. More at bloomhf.org. And from Estate and Downsizing Specialists, LLC, offering complete turnkey services for estate and downsizing clients, from initial consultation through home cleanout to final real estate and personal property sales. More at edsindiana.com.